think it's important that we do see the text and we're able to focus in on what the technical details are, because that's really what has been negotiated at the negotiating table. And then secondly, to look at the broader political and regional Middle Eastern implications for this and the relationship of the United States with Iran, but more broadly, the relationship of the United States with its other allies and adversaries in the region. And how might this agreement, beyond the question of the nuclear deal, affect those broader contours of those relationships? And I think it's also worth keeping in mind that this is not a deal between the United States and Iran. This also includes the five permanent members of the Security Council and Germany. And so there have been extensive conversations and negotiations even among that group. And given the state of U.S.-Russian relations, I think it's worth noting that that this is an area in which the United States and Russia have been able to agree.
Now, we know the reaction in Israel from the government has been very strongly opposed. But what about Egypt? What about Jordan? What about some of the other Middle East nations? They've been watching this carefully, no doubt. What do you think is being said in those capitals today?
Well, we already do see reactions on various levels from all those countries, and specifically from Saudi Arabia, who have been very much concerned, not just over these negotiations, but if the United States is still an ally that can be counted on. And this is a concern that goes back to the Arab Spring, first in 2010 in Tunisia, and then 2011 in Egypt, and then beyond in the region. And so these concerns about the U.S. And the U.S. position on issues like Syria, issues like Libya and Yemen, and then you add in these negotiations with Iran, the Saudis are extremely nervous about the U.S. position in the region. Clearly, the Israelis have expressed deep reservation about this deal. And I think all of this is going to translate into a very lively debate in the U.S. Senate that will have to, over the next 60 days, decide on this issue. And it will be interesting to see what senators choose, what positions, and how that aligns with what's going on back in the Middle East.
The BBC is reporting one provision would allow Iran to object to certain verification requests. Now, that seems like it could be a pretty big hole that could lead to some strong opposition in the Senate.
Yes. I mean, one of the sticking points has been the inspection of military sites in Iran. And this has also been a source of disagreement among those negotiating with the United States. In particular, the U.S. and the French have taken different positions on this. The U.S. Has had a more flexible position on it. The French have been much more focused on ensuring that those military inspections do happen. And I think, you know, everyone understands that there have been many cases over the past few years where the Iranians have not lived up to previous agreements. So I think, you know, implementing the deal, if it is in fact approved, implementing it is really going to be a test of keeping together this alliance that we've constructed, the P5 plus one, and seeing how these technical issues play out in the midst of these broader political tensions.
What is the reaction in Iran, do you believe, not just from the people on the street, but the people in government, from the religious conservatives to those not quite influenced by that?
You know, I think that that's a really important thing for us to pay attention to over the coming months, because part of what this deal is attempting to do for the United States and the Europeans and the other actors involved is to see if a new architecture can be put in place in a region that appears to many to be spiraling out of control. And to do that, to see if Iran can live up to what they have said that they want to do, which is to be seen as a normal state. And I think many would say that then behaving as a normal state would be an important first step in that direction. So there's a real tension in Iran between people who are still very much adhering to the revolutionary ethos that was begun in 1979, and seeing Iran acting as a revolutionary actor in the region, as opposed to others who want to find more normal ways of interacting in the international community. And whether or not this deal will just be focused on the kind of technical nuclear issues, or if it will be seen as an important step to those other avenues of normalization remains to be seen. But I think the splits in Iran indicate the splits in a vision about how Iran should be perceived and how it should behave in the region.
Does this agreement cover a delivery system? For instance, in North Korea, we know they have a nuclear weapon, at least one, but we're not sure about their capacity to deliver that weapon far beyond their borders. What about this agreement? Does it also contain provisions regarding the Iranian ability to deliver a nuclear weapon that they're not supposed to have, but still a weapon that could be delivered by missile?
Well, the Iranians have maintained throughout that they are not interested in developing a nuclear weapon, and there's a variety of opinions as to whether that's a truthful statement or not. But one thing that is certain is that the current embargo on conventional weapons, which would include a variety of missiles that could be used to deliver all sorts of things, conventional or non-conventional weapon, that this is also part of the deal, and how exactly that weapons embargo is going to be dealt with, I think, is still some of the details that need to come out. But both sanctions, economic sanctions, and the conventional weapons embargo are two important pieces from the Iranian perspective. And so any kind of slowness in implementing them on our side will be seen as a lack of trust on the Iranian side. So again, I think the implementation aspect to this is going to be crucial, and to see how much of the implementation steps are laid out in, I guess, what is an 80-page plan will be very important to look through and see what exactly is that process. But you're quite right. The conventional weapons that can be used both in conventional warfare in the region, but also as delivery vehicles for nuclear weapons or others, other non-conventional weapons is an important piece of this.